When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, Speak Family? It's time for kickoff. If I can get the kickoff right now, you know what I'm saying? You can't start a game without kicking things off. This is Speak. We took a little Speak Family road trip earlier and went to Rams training camp practice. You'll see the whole squad right there. JJ, Shady McCoy, Joy Taylor, Max Crosby, everybody hanging out. 2-5, what's up with it? So you just not even gonna take the rock. Thank you, sir. Joined by Super Bowl champion James Jones.
What's crack, baby?
It's all good. Joy Taylor, how are we feeling?
I'm good. We got out in the sun today. Saw a little.
The Pads were popping. Eagles all-time rushing leader LeSean Shady McCoy, though he needs no introduction. James, what stood up to you most in practice?
Ooh-wee, the Raiders, man. The Raiders going to the playoffs this year, baby. I'm telling you. Hey, write it down. You can look like that. It's early in the show. We'll get at it.
Well, let's start things off with first and 10 as we transition. Jets. They have sky-high expectations this season, but there is already a concern. Head coach Robert Saleh called out the offense on Hard Knocks, but Aaron Rodgers says his level of concern is pretty low. Take a listen.
I don't get concerned heavily about things that I don't have a huge role in yet. Now, that might change. At some point, I might say, hey, I need the five who are going to be in there to be in there with me for a solid week. But I don't think we're at that point yet because I don't think there's five guys that have earned those spots. I'm going to have some patience with that.
Yeah, coach.
I think there was a lot of overreacting in general. A lot of overreacting. I am wondering, though, Joy, what will hold the Jets back this season in your mind?
I think a lot of things could hold the Jets back this season. Now, I've been saying that my biggest question with this team is the offensive line and how they're going to play and improve because they were ranked 23rd last year. Aaron Rodgers is not a mobile quarterback. He's a guy who likes things a certain way, as he just said. He's feeling a little uncomfortable with where they are right now. Well, this could be an issue. Are they going to be able to step up into the top part of the league as an offensive line? How much is that going to matter? I think it's going to matter a lot. But there's also a lot of other questions I have about this team. Robert Saleh has won 11 games in this league. I think he has the potential to be a good coach. But if I just took the name off and took the team off and took all the circumstances away, you would say 11-23 is not a good record as a head coach.
No doubt.
So I don't know if Robert Saleh is able to take the Jets to the next level. I don't know if the connection between Aaron Rodgers and all the skill positions is going to click like that. I don't know if all the other players who haven't been in Nathaniel Hackett's system are going to take to the system like that. I don't know if they start off and they struggle, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to galvanize everyone and put everyone in a position to have faith, because unlike what they had with the Packers, they haven't been winning. They don't know how to win yet. They aren't in the same position as an organization. So there are a lot of questions that I have about how all of this is going to look, how it's going to play out. They talked about being good on paper during Hard Knocks. We have to see how the games are played when it's real time. So while the offensive line is certainly a very valid question, I think there's a lot of questions about how this is going to look.
Yeah, my biggest one, James, is really the head coach. Surprisingly, I'm not concerned about the offensive line yet.
Yeah.
Reason is they still got three starters out, and they still trying to prove a point to Mekhi Becton, first-round pick from 3 years back, waiting for him to get in full shape until they roll him out there with the one. So Dwayne Brown, starting left tackle, Pro Bowler 2021, he's been out. I believe Lakin Thompson, all Pro Bowl player at left guard, he's been out. Elijah Vera Tucker, he's been out at right guard. So I'm not concerned about the O-line just yet. I'm with A-Rod on that. But to Joy's point about the head coach, I'm worried because I don't know if Robert Saleh yet knows how to deal with the highs and the lows of the season. Remember last year, as soon as they started losing, that losing was compounded. You start off 5-2, you finish off 2-8.
Yeah.
Like as a head coach, you have to figure out how to stop that snowball effect. So, James, that's really where my concern lies. It's at the top.
Well, number one, if Robert Saleh messes this thing up, Robert Saleh is fired. And that's just keeping it 100. If he does not find a way to get to the playoffs and have a winning season with everything he has, he is fired. And the only thing on this football team that's holding him back in my opinion, is the offensive line. Once the offensive line gets fixed, like Aaron Rodgers says, five guys ain't earned that. You know, for me to go in there and say, Coach, I want these five guys to be in consistently so we can get some chemistry and all that. Once they find out that part of it, this team is built to win a championship right now, players-wise. Robert Saleh has everything he needs on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, if you get that offensive line to go. So if he messes this thing up and does not compete and get to the playoffs, he will be fired. And the thing that's slowing him down from getting that done is that offensive line, period.
Yeah, I'm second that. I think the offensive line is the biggest key or biggest concern. You know, it doesn't matter how many skilled guys you got or great quarterbacks. If you can't block, you can't win.
That's it.
And I do think that Coach Saleh is a solid coach. I mean, you talked about his record, but how many teams can win with a quarterback like Zach Wilson? 32 coaches? How many guys can win with that type of offensive production from the quarterback position? So I don't blame him as much for his record. I'm more focused on the offensive line. Aaron Rodgers, he don't want to get touched. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of them great quarterbacks from Peyton Manning to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, they don't want to be touched. They don't want you in their area when they're trying to throw the ball. And if they can't block, they can't win.
I'm still thinking, though, about management skills, though, Shady. Like, I believe, no, you're not going to win a lot of games with Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. But I don't even love, if y'all recall, how Robert Saleh handled things last year. Mm. It just got real awkward. It got real uncomfortable on the outside in and clearly on the inside out. He's telling Zach Wilson that, well, you know what, now you got to sit, and it's just awkward. You put in Mike White. Okay, Joe Flacco starts some games here and there. You got players within the team wearing Mike White T-shirts while Zach Wilson is still on the roster. Yeah. It was just very awkward. Remember, I think he said, like, he needs a hard reset, as if he was a video game. We just need to sit him down for a while. He needs a hard reset. Even if all the pieces are at play, Joy, even if everybody is where everybody is supposed to be from a health standpoint, from a play standpoint, can Saleh, do you believe, Joy, do you believe, James, that Saleh can actually command the ship where it needs to get to?
He better. Because like I said, we're going to be sitting up here talking like, dang, who the next Jets head coach? He has to, right? They have given him everything he needs. This is the Jets is basically built right now like the 49ers. From the team that you came from, how that team was built, you're building this team like that. A really good defense, playmakers around, a really good quarterback, right? And you have two really good running backs. This team is built the way you wanted it to be built. The Jets have given Robert Saleh everything that he's wanted. They've given him the time and the years to get this, and now they've given him the players. Right, so if he does not get this thing and the Jets to the playoffs, and I know a lot of pressure's on Aaron Rodgers, but you're right, as a head coach, if you don't find a way to get this team to the playoffs, winning some playoff games, I think this is going to be it for Robert Saleh.
I mean, also, wasn't Robert Saleh part of the regime that brought in Zach Wilson?
Mm-hmm. First year.
So that was his guy. I mean, I was surprised that they just said we're 100% taking Zach Wilson. I wouldn't have taken Zach Wilson. I thought it was a swing at that pick to begin with. So I can say, okay, yeah, we know Zach Wilson isn't good, but most coaches don't survive that. So I do like that the Jets have stuck with him because I think he has something. He obviously can coach the defense. I don't know if he can take them to the next level. We have to see. I agree with you. It got really clunky last year. I can't completely absolve them of the Zach Wilson pick. Like, I think if you take a player that high that's that important of a position and you completely whiff on it, like, responsible.
How we know that was Saleh's pick, though? I mean, obviously he's a coach, but
Douglas.
But you know how that is.
Yeah, Saleh,
like,
Douglas.
Certain coaches can't pick the players they want to go pick. They go earn it by winning and having a good record. Okay, you know what? Let's give him some more leadership mm-hmm. as far as who he picks, who he drafts, who he trades. Some things they can't control.
But that's why, Shady, I'm not even mad at the pick because, in my mind, to some degree, your hands are tied. Trevor Lawrence, if y'all remember,
we knew that Zach was going to go a top.
Correct. Correct. So okay. I'm not even so much mad as a pick. I am mad at how you developed, or lack thereof, the pick. I'm mad at how you manage the situation.
Yeah, but
that's the only thing I'm mad at.
Okay, but let's just put ourselves in his shoes. Like, what are you supposed to do? You draft this player high, right? That he had a high board. Everybody wanted him. Okay? Mm-hmm. You get him. He's no good. He's a top three pick. Was he second?
I believe he's third.
Something like that. Whatever. Top three pick. So what are you going to do? You gotta get him. And now he's not good, so you bench him. Then Mike White comes in and does well. Because you're still trying to win. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's hard. You're trying to play the game of, okay, you know, as the ownership, we draft this high pick, so we got to play him. The other is like, we trying to win. He's not doing good. Let's put somebody else in. He can't help it that the team, you know, gravitated more to Mike White than him.
I guess.
Go ahead.
It sounds like you're saying when things hit the wall a little bit and they hit the fan and start going down, you don't know if Robert Saleh could rally the troops.
Correct.
Because that's the same thing he was kind of saying yesterday. You calling out this offensive line way too early. So is that where you're going? When it gets hard, you don't think he could rally the troops?
Not collectively as a team. Defensive mind, I love Robert Saleh. Like Robert Saleh, I worked out for Robert Saleh after the Eagles had released me, so I've known Robert Saleh dating back to 2015. As a defensive mind, I think he's brilliant. First and foremost, Shady and James, I'm skeptical of defensive head coaches to begin with. Okay. I'll be honest. America, I'll be honest with y'all. It's a quarterback league. You have to be able to manage the quarterback of the offense, not the quarterback of the defense. When you think about the teams that were in the playoff picture last year, Brian Daboll, offensive coach.
So you're saying defense don't win championships no more?
Well, the league has said that. Okay. You know what I mean? So, and it's not even that as much as I want to make sure that my head coach knows how to manage my quarterbacks. C.J. Mosley is fine, linebacker. Quinnen Williams is fine, defensive tackle. Sauce Gardner is fine. I want to make sure my head coach knows how to manage quarterbacks. I also don't think it's a coincidence that when you look at the playoff pictures, Zach Taylor, Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, Brian Daboll, I don't think it's a coincidence you see all these offensive coaches. Now, you do see John Harbaugh, special teams coach. Mm-hmm. You do see Sean McDermott, defensive mind. But usually outside of those two names, you saw Pete Carroll last year, defensive mind. But it's a whole bunch of offensive minds. That's the other reason I'm skeptical. And I'm a defensive
guy. You think you need the head coach to manage Aaron Rodgers?
I think to manage that team, yeah. To manage that team.
I disagree. When you bring in a caliber guy like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, like them guys should be, okay, I need y'all to take some of this control of the offense. You don't just go out to get Aaron Rodgers paying that type of money just because he's a great quarterback. No, it's the leadership. It's the accountability. It's that when he steps in a room, in a meeting room, he gets everybody's attention. He demands respect. When he speaks at an interview or he speaks in a huddle, you won't listen. Not because the head coach. No, it's because of the quarterback. I think even on the top guys, like Andy Reid is super respected. He's the best coach, and I think, in my opinion, that's ever coached. But guys like Mahomes, yeah, Andy may say things, but when Pat say this going down, Bruce Arians is a great coach. You think when Tom Brady speaks, it's not the same value of a head coach compared to him?
But I'm just saying quarterbacks don't speak as often, nor do they speak to as many people.
Dumb quarterbacks do. Dumb greats, they talking.
But for me, I don't necessarily think it's that. I do think it's a difference than you managing 22 dudes and now you managing 53 dudes.
Correct.
Now, that's different. That's harder as a head coach. Like, when you're just a defensive coordinator, you're in charge of 22 cats on the defense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I got to motivate 22 cats. Right. I don't got to stand up in front of 53, get a motivated team. We could be going through a slump in the season where we losing, and I got to figure out the words to say to rally my troops and all. That's different as a head coach. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get in the defensive room and say, look, this is what we got to do, our job. We got to do this. But as a head coach, now you're managing everybody.
That's a good point. So what if so Andy Reid, right? He speaks to the team, he motivates you, but the defense is doing their thing. Spags, no, they doing their thing. Go over and handle that. Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll? Yeah, McDermott's going to speak his thing, but Brian Daboll, you got the offense. He's going to be the one that's getting us riled up.
No doubt when you break up in the individuals and you go, but I'm just saying, when you got to address 53 men and you got to get the message across to the football team, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of coaches, defense or offense, that can really rally the troops like that. And I think that's where Acho is getting to, that he don't really trust Robert Saleh because he sees when this stuff is hitting the fan, right? He don't really know how to rally these dudes, 53 dudes. We seen him with the Niners to get 22 dudes to go.
The problem is the Jets don't have a culture.
Right.
And that's the head coach.
They don't.
Oh, that's the bad play.
Well.
Both.
It's not. He's not absolved of it. Like, he's the leader of the team that has no culture. We talk about Detroit all the time. Detroit's not a winning team. But we see they're developing something. There's something happening there, even year one. So, to me, like, that's the question that I have. You have the talent now. You've got all the talent you need. Mm-hmm. Are you able to now establish a culture and take it to the next level? And that's what we have to see this year.
That's what we have to see. Well, speaking of culture, Cowboys seem to have one, but they also had a little bit of a camp combat yesterday. Ooh. At training camp. Haymakers were thrown. Do we have an issue with the Cowboys' fight yesterday at training camp? Good or bad? Or somewhere in between? Remember, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on Sirius.
Did Cooper Rush get injured or no?
That's what you call USA, right? Greetings, soccer fans. Are you ready for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup? Because we are. That's right. Australia and New Zealand, look out. State of the Union is coming.
Off the post and in!
And we'll be going above and beyond down under. We'll have new podcast episodes every single match day. So follow Alexi Lawless's State of the Union on the Fox app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's get the second and short second topic of the day. Now, things got testy at Cowboys training camp yesterday. And one of the incidents, Micah Parsons, he actually threw a punch at center Tyler Biadasz. Now, y'all watching it right there. Everybody gets in on the scene. Micah Parsons throwing one. Sam Williams steps in. Dak Prescott tries to alleviate some of the tension. Micah Parsons, he quoted yesterday, "I push myself to the greater good, and me pushing myself is only going to make them better at the end of the day. I don't care who I'm up against. I don't care if it's Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. If it's Tyler Smith, I'm going to beat the hell out of them. It's only going to make them better. This is where championships get started." James, you grinning a little too much for me on this one. Where are you at with all of this? You got an issue with the fight?
Man, I absolutely love it. This is part of training camp, right? We all know when you wake up in the morning, I'm tired of seeing the same dude in front of me.
You're not wrong.
You know what I mean? He done pushed me once or twice last practice. And if he do that again this practice, it's going down. That's all it is. We used to that. When you in the trench especially and you banging against somebody every single day, you tired of seeing that person. And as for the starters, you don't play a lot in the preseason anyway, so you ain't really seen nobody yet. I'm tired of seeing the same people. I'm good with these fights. This happens in training camp. It's okay. As long as they dap it up in the locker room after and we good, he's right. This is how you build championships football teams right here.
You know what I hate? It's not even that I disagree with you. I hate that we try to act like fighting is a prerequisite to championship football. Like, I just hate that so much. Shady, where you stand on it?
You don't like it?
I don't like that we act like you gotta fight to be a champion. Like, I don't mind this. I'll break down the issue I had with this after we hear from y'all.
I'm gonna say, I love it. I mean, this is part of football. Like, just think about this for a second. You put all these alpha males together, right? Put them equipment, and this is a tough man's game. I'm not saying basketball's not, but this is a tough man's game. We are trying to bang. We wanna hurt each other. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So to think that it's not gonna be a fight is crazy. Yeah, it's gonna be fights. Now, I only seen one. I wanted to see more. I remember going into camp, like, okay, for example, like, look, man, I'm in the meeting room with my guys. Bro, he got one more time.
You got one more.
That feeling.
You got one more.
Bro, he got one more time.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Man, you going to see.
Yeah.
And we'll sure enough what Parson do.
That's
he had
it.
That one more time.
That's it.
What you going to do, Parson? Yeah. You about to see. Wop, 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 wop. And that boy from Harrisburg, PA, that's how we get down. I don't know if you knew this. But I'm from the same city he from.
That's all.
That's how we get down. So if you say something I don't like, we might.
That's okay. I'm from the Bay. We're going to be tussling.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
All good.
Speak out the dark. Let's get it.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm with you. I don't know if fighting leads to championships or not. I don't think it really means anything other than it's hot. You've been seeing
it
the
is
same
hot.
Guys every day. Somebody did a little something, a little extra app, mm-hmm. like just want this, just doing something a little, you already irritated, and somebody just keep.
Yep. No doubt, yeah. And you're ready
this.
To go home, you ain't even in your bed.
You haven't been in your bed. You know what I mean? Your routine, there's a lot you're missing.
Yeah,
at
they
camp,
got you in
all right?
This twin
this
bed.
Is like
yeah.
irritated state.
No question.
And somebody keeps trying you. Mm-hmm. It's a collision sport. Y'all trying
that's
to bang.
That's it.
People are fighting for jobs, so maybe you're going up against somebody that's trying to, that
that's
you got your
thing.
Job.
Nah.
This guy's trying to make the team. He's
yep.
trying, he's doing all this extra stuff mm-hmm. that you don't have to do because you're Micah Parsons or you're a starter or you just signed a contract. So you're just trying to get through camp healthy. While this guy's trying to make the team. There's all these different dynamics with fights. At the end of the day, if you really are leaving that field with real animosity for that person, you ain't like them before camp started.
No doubt.
But not the only thing, though,
say this before you go, though. Before you go, I do want to say this. You read that statement,
uh-huh.
right? I know where he's from now because that's where y'all from.
Yeah,
but we all know Micah is a dog,
yep.
right? And he's saying, I don't care who y'all are out here, right? I am coming to get y'all. I am trying to kill y'all at practice, right? Who the top dogs in the NFC? Eagles, Niners.
Yes, sir.
Dogs, physical, violent.
Yes.
Right? So this is the type of way that you get your team ready to go in training camp to face them dudes.
The only thing, and I don't think all camp fights are created equal. I'll break it down like that. I think you got some stupid camp fights, you got some real camp fights. Been a part of both. We all know what it is. To me, what I saw, the only issue I have is some of the stuff was cheap shots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, y'all go ahead and let the jib take the big board. I'm just going to do it here from the desk. But some of the stuff was cheap shots because Sam Williams, if you'll see, he's the guy who ends up getting cheap shotted, and he cheap shots an individual later. So they're in one-on-ones right now. Boom. He don't like that, like Joy and James are talking about. That's that little extra push and that little extra tug. That's exactly what Joy. So now look. Sam Williams wasn't even going to hit the dude. He just goes up there like
he don't know that, though.
That's fine. But look, so now Biadasz, number 63, he comes in, boom, level Sam Williams. There go to Marcus Lawrence. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, cut two. Now you're going to see the Micah Parsons fight. I'm going to fast forward so y'all can really get to the good stuff. I don't want to waste your time there at home. Now, I'm going to pause it because after you see Micah there, Micah tussling at the bottom of the screen. Hold on. That's that same number 63. 63 is the same dude who cheap shot at Sam Williams. Y'all pay close attention because this ain't what people showed you. Now, look at what just happened. I'm going to let y'all see another better angle of it. Boom. There go 54.
Ooh,
that's the same 54 who got cheap shotted earlier. To me, James, this isn't building, like, a winning culture. This is hitting a dude in the back of the head, which is the easiest way to lead to somebody getting hurt. Like, that's just cheap shot. That was just dumb to me. Like, that's why you can bring us back on cam. That stuff was dumb to me. No. The Parsons one, I'm good with. But those were dumb.
So the first one, they done stopped the fight, right? You know? And 54 was the one that got cheap shot, as you said, smacked on the ground. So they stopped the fight and broke it up. He ain't forget that. That's bro, that cheap shot at me. It's my turn, you know? So I'ma catch you slipping now. He caught me slipping. That's part of it. But I ain't worried about the camp fights, man. You need a little bit of that, man. We in twin beds out here in Oxnard. Right? We trying to get back home. We ain't hitting nobody else. That's gonna happen.
You getting fights at camp?
Nobody really played with me like that, but I was smarter than, like, a lot of them dudes, so I'm not about to get my hand mixed up. Unless you do something to me. I will check you if you do something wrong. Like, I didn't like to be hit, you know what I'm saying, in practice. But listen, bro, I'm going to be here. One thing you said is smart is that, like, yo, these dudes are out here trying to get a job.
Back.
Listen, Micah, we get it. You got your job. Ain't a lot of money.
Yeah, you safe.
Yeah.
But there's some dudes that's fighting for a job.
Yeah.
Three kids.
I remember my rookie year, I'm with the Cleveland Browns, 6th round pick. So ain't nothing guaranteed. Ain't nothing safe. You never know what it is. I'm going up against a vet. It's special teams. You know what I'm saying? I'm going up a vet. Y'all don't know, but I will bring it to y'all's information. Usually there's like an unspoken agreement in practice. Especially like you remember Chip Kelly used to make us do tackling drills, running backs, linebackers, like 5 yards apart, trying to get into the goal line. Chris Polk, I would always go up against. I was like, hey, make a loud thud sound, grunt a little bit, and then just like whoever wins. So, just like, hey, don't nobody get hurt. I'm in Cleveland, my rookie year, going up against a 6-year vet. I'm going hard. He's like, okay, Acho. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like that today, Acho? Okay. I didn't know what that meant. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rookie.
Oh, yeah?
That's it.
No doubt.
So, y'all are right. There are some people who try to make the team, and there's some cats that's already on the team. But that was my only issue with it, though, Jay.
Yeah.
Is like, if it gets cheap, if it gets stupid.
I'm with you on that, because that's how people get hurt. I mean, that's how somebody fall into somebody's legs and all that. So, I understand that. But we all know. I played on the perimeter. Perimeter is different than the trenches. The trenches, you banging every play. I was good with C-Wood. C-Wood, we good, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Al Harris, we good, you know. But in the trenches, it ain't no we good. You know what I'm saying? And you play in the trenches running the ball, but them offense and defensive linemen, that's different at practice.
And
banging every single day. You going to get chipped.
I do think that. Now, I don't think fights equals success. But I think when fights happen between the big boys, it means something.
No doubt.
Because I need my boys to be mean.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit me. My player late or they hit my quarterback late? I need you. Yeah, it's going to be a fine. We're going to pay it. But you need to pay that dude back.
Yep.
So when the big boys is getting into it like that, that can ultimately mean that might be some championship football
I tried to break a dude's arm at practice because the way them, bruh, in Philly, because if old linemen start holding, like you're talking about in the trenches, outside it's pretty, it's neat, it's cute, that's fine. But in the trenches, he's there holding. So one time I just put him in a quick arm bar and I just tried to go until it snapped. I mean, I'm just sitting there like just pressing. Pressing.
It's very dark.
I bet he didn't hold me again.
But check this out, though. Who is the closest position group on the football team?
O-line, D-line?
Easy O-line.
O-line, D-line.
Right? So them O-line, they going to ride for each other. I have never seen just one O-lineman out there chunking them.
Never.
Every single one of them is going to run. Now,
even them years y'all was bad at Raiders? Even the bad, bad years?
If it's O-line, and you can bring the Raiders up, that's all good. If it's O-line, you see how I go. You see how I go.
No, but look.
Y'all was,
the year y'all was 0-11, y'all ain't.
I don't remember what you're talking about. I just know I've been in the playoffs a bunch. Eh?
Well, from one Bay Area team, the Raiders, to another, the 49ers. Woo, they paid a heavy price to get Trey Lance. But now word on the street is that it could be time to move on in shocking fashion. That will be next on Beat.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. We are bringing you the best college football analysis every week. Any questions? Then send them into the Joel Klatt Show mailbag. Follow the Joel Klatt Show on the Fox Sports app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, let's get to third and long third topic of the day. We got to go a little bit lengthier on this one because topics and thoughts are diverse. Trey Lance struggling in his 49ers first preseason game, and his play is drawing a lot of earned criticism. But head coach Kyle Shanahan says he, quote, does a damn good job of trying to block all that out, close quote. Remember, Niners gave up three first-round picks, really two first-round picks, and then swapped to draft Trey Lance third overall. Shady, should the Niners move on from Trey Lance?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no just because he's due some money, right? They own some money. They took him high in the draft, so he's making about $4 million a year. It's not a lot for a quarterback. I think one thing we always talk about on this show is the Niners. Quarterbacks, they always get hurt. You always bring that up. So why not keep him on the team? It's like it doesn't kill you to keep him. Even if he's not playing well, maybe, you know, Kyle is a smart guy and he thinks he's super intelligent, which I think he is. Maybe he can fix him. Maybe he needs him a little more time. I think Brock Purdy's come off an injury. Sam Darnold, I mean, they said he's doing pretty good in camp, but he used to say he's seen Casper all the time, as in seeing ghosts, right? So as much as we want to pass up on Trey Lance because he's not playing well, you got to keep in mind, like, this quarterback room they have, the depth chart, it ain't really great.
It's not.
Brock Purdy's a rookie going the second year, sure, off injury. No real development from the year one to year two. Sam Darnold, like I talked about, his career, you know what it's been. Mm-hmm. And then Trey Lance. We don't really know much about him, but I just think that it doesn't kill you or hurt you to keep him on the staff, on the team.
I think 2-5, I agree with you to that part, but I'll say it like this. You have to move on in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
If you keep him on the roster physically, great. But in your mind, you have to move on. What was great about being at practice today, we went to watch the Rams versus the Raiders, is you got to see how many reps the ones were getting, mm-hmm, the twos were getting, the threes were getting. Jimmy G was taking a lot of the reps, but then you also got Aiden O'Connell from Purdue in there. You also saw Brian Hoyer getting in there. When I was watching the Rams side of things, Matthew Stafford was getting his reps, but I saw Stenson Bennett getting some reps too. Right. I didn't see the third or fourth string quarterbacks for the Rams. Trey Lance does not need to be taking reps from Sam Darnold, nor does he need to be taking reps from Brock Purdy. That's where I'm at with all of this. If you want to keep him on the roster, great. If you don't want to move on from him physically, that is fine. But in your mind, you have to move on. Sam Darnold has not proven enough in general, nor in this system. Brock Purdy has not played enough. Do not take any reps from those two quarterbacks to pay Trey Lance. Keep him on the roster, sure. Wait for his stock to rise. But in your mind, you have to move on.
It sounds like you have my guy Trey Lance as the third quarterback on the San Francisco 49ers.
They do too.
Right? With that being said, you have to move on. You have to take some calls right now and figure out how you can trade Trey Lance. You have an extremely young quarterback in Brock Purdy that you have given the keys to the keys of the ship to. You came out and said if he don't throw 10 picks or play extremely bad in practice, this is his job, right? The players have came out and said, basically, we want Purdy under center. We are a better football team with Purdy. They already have given Purdy the keys to the ship. And he's a seventh-round pick. He's extremely young, right?
It is not like it's Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers is going to give you 2 years and he's going to help develop Zach Wilson. No. If he stays around, Trey Lance will never see the football field. You have to let Trey Lance go, see what you could get from him, see if somebody else can develop him. But right now you have him as the third string quarterback. You hear talks about Sam Darnold outplaying him. If you have that about Trey Lance, you have to move on and figure out how you can deal him because he's never going to start. And not only that, he's never really going to get a fair shot to start because you've given the keys to an extremely young quarterback in Purdy.
Yeah, the problem is this is the most injured team in the NFL.
I hear you.
You mentioned ghosts. Casper's friendly. That nightmare that happened with Philadelphia,
yeah.
They don't want to relive that.
Yeah.
They can't relive that. Now, obviously, you would get another third-string quarterback. You'd get somebody who's, you know, getting cut at camp and pick somebody up. But why? Trey Lance has already been in the system. Obviously, doesn't look like he's been in the system, but he's in the building. And again, if you trade off of him, now you're really saying, we messed this whole situation up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's egos involved. Yeah. There's a reaction. If they're not good this year, like I think it's too soon to move on from him. I don't think that they can because of the constant injury situation that they have. And we haven't seen Brock Purdy play at the beginning of the season. We haven't seen him for an entirety of the season. You mentioned it yesterday, all of the one-hit, not I don't want to call them one-hit wonders, but guys who have come out and won games and then been given the job only to be proven that they're not ready for it. I don't know. Brock Purdy looks extremely confident. He came in and did something that I don't ever really remember seeing a rookie do, let alone the last pick in the draft. So he's earned the starting position, but this is not, they don't really have a guy.
But
they have Brock Purdy, and we think he's going to do well. We think he's going to look like he did when he came in. But there's a very real chance he doesn't. There's a very real chance he's not fully recovered. He did not have a full offseason. He didn't.
But to me, though, that chance is a real chance that you could take with any quarterback year three and under who's, been injured,
he played seven games. He's this last pick in the draft. He was a rookie. He hasn't even played an entire season.
But he's played and won playoff games more than that of other quarterbacks, even Deshaun Watson in the playoffs.
I think it's bigger than that. We're missing the big picture in this thing. It is bigger than that. Last year, Jimmy G came from the NFC Championship game. They did not have a losing season. He came from the NFC Championship game. And right when they lost, Shanahan said, this is Trey Area. This is his job. And now the very next year after his injury, he's the third quarterback?
Yeah.
That tells me that they do not believe in Trey Lance, period. What he is showing on tape in practice in preseason as a coaching staff, they don't believe in him.
Correct.
And that is why you're so quick to give it to Purdy after seven games, whether he won or lost, right? Yes, he still has to prove it again this year. Cal don't care. He's saying that this is my guy, and then it's possibly Darnold. That's saying we do not believe in Trey Lance anymore, period. That's what it says.
And they shouldn't. And they shouldn't, in my mind. But my thing is, they shouldn't believe in Trey Lance. He's given them no reason to believe in him.
Right.
In my mind, you can move on from him now. You can.
That's why I think it's way gone.
Here's the thing.
Because if Sam, you got more belief in Sam than the dude you gave up three first for?
After seeing what Geno was able to do in Seattle, I'm now you know what? I'm not just going to toss Sam out because what I've seen from Sam. Sam, drafted to the New York Jets. Geno Smith, drafted to the New York Jets. Both had laughable careers in New York. Geno has since gone to Seattle and was a Pro Bowler last year. I don't know if or that Sam
you
will do that.
You didn't watch Sam in Carolina?
He wasn't great, but I know that Sam has all the – I know Sam got all the tools. I know that much. And I know that Kyle Shanahan is a very, very smart head coach.
Sam wasn't bad when McCaffrey played.
Listen here, man.
Look at his numbers when McCaffrey played. He wasn't that bad.
That's all I'm saying. If we're talking about Sam Darnold over a kid that you gave up three first-round picks for, and it's only going into his second year, and he's coming off of injury, and you basically saying that Sam is in front of this dude, that tells you that what the young fella has shown you in practice and in preseason is ain't it.
I agree with you, though. I mean, for him to be third, on a depth chart, it tells you a lot about him. And, I mean, not even that. We watched how Trey Lance looked when he played. I don't need them to tell me that. I got my own eyes.
But truth.
My only thing is this. It's like he's already on the team. You see what I'm saying? So, you just, for to cut him or trade him and then try to go out there and find out the quarterback, it's like, You already have him there. But it doesn't kill you to keep him on the team.
But 2-5, he's not playing. He's not even playing like he's been on the team for a long time. Remember preseason game one, like Trey Lance is playing as though he hasn't been on the team for a long time.
But the only way he was really effective is when they were using design plays for him. Like, he is still a big body. You can still utilize him that way. And at the third string, what are you going to get? Are you going to get like a functioning third string quarterback? Like, he's third string. It doesn't matter. Who's out there floating around that's going to be the answer?
I would just give me a vet. They have Brandon Allen on the roster right now. He just doesn't have much NFL starting experience, if at all. 2016 pick, I believe, out of Arkansas.
Okay, no.
Just go get me a vet.
But when you're the third round, when you're the third quarterback on the depth chart, like, who has that much belief in you? Let's talk about Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. He looked awful when he played.
Sure.
Awful.
Sure.
So he's a veteran, so it makes him cooler? Is better?
Not even it makes him cooler. It's like, if I'm in a pinch, I would rather have a Joe Flacco than have Trey Lance.
Why? Because you think he's smarter? Is he experienced?
Not only that.
I'm going to say he was bad.
Joe ain't got nothing to prove. And they don't care about Joe. Joe is a veteran. He done did what he did in this league. He don't got nothing to prove. You got to let this young fella go and let somebody else try to develop him if you're not going to use him. He a young player. And you got him at the third string right now. If you're not going to use him, you got to let him go, trade him, get what you could get for him.
They may end up having to use him. Like, let's just think about what we're talking about right now. This is a team that we absolutely think, outside of the quarterback position, is capable of winning a Super Bowl. I felt that they were capable of winning the Super Bowl the last three, maybe 4 years with their roster. And we are up here arguing about how they're going to look with a seventh-round rookie who has played 7 games in the NFL and is coming off of an injury to his throwing arm. Sam Darnold. Or Trey Lance, who we can see still doesn't have a grasp of the offense, doesn't look like he's an NFL quarterback, and they use 3 first-round picks to get him. I feel crazy. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I think that is a crazy argument, a conversation to be having about a team that is as good top to bottom as the San Francisco 49ers.
Shady brought up a really good point. He said,
"Thank you, brother.
You ain't gotta tell me what's going on in training camp. I got my own two eyes. I've been seeing Trey Lance." Have we not seen Sam Darnold since Sam Darnold came in this National Football League?
No, don't give me that, though. Don't give me the reason I don't want to hear that.
We got to go off of what we've seen, Acho.
It's a difference, though, Jay. It's a difference, though, Jay, because talent is dependent oftentimes upon producer. Lead actor is dependent oftentimes upon director. So don't tell me about, because we saw.
He done had 2 stops.
We saw
He looked garbage at both stops.
I saw Matt Schaub without Kyle Shanahan. And I saw Matt Schaub become a pro bowler with Kyle Shanahan. Let out that sigh. I saw Robert Griffin without Kyle Shanahan. And I saw Robert Griffin win rookie of the year with Kyle Shanahan. We all saw Matt Ryan without Kyle Shanahan. And we saw Matt Ryan in a Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan.
But we saw Trey Lance with Kyle Shanahan.
You think that Kyle Shanahan can make Sam Darnold into a Super Bowl quarterback?
I think he can make Sam Darnold into a quarterback that can get them there, yes.
You think Sam Darnold can get the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl?
I think he can, because I've seen Jimmy G do it, and I don't think Jimmy G's as talented as Sam Darnold. I also seen Brock Purdy be one
Jimmy
game away
G
from
not
it.
Look like Sam Darnold on the field, though.
You're right, but how often have we seen Jimmy G without 2 phenomenal offensive minds? I was talking to one of the best defensive minds, a head coach currently, and I was like, yo, who the best offensive coordinators in the game right now? Who the best offensive coordinators? I said, Andy Reid. I said, McDaniel. I said, he's like, yeah, honestly, people don't give enough credit to McDaniel. I was like, yeah, Mike McDaniel, cold. He was like, Mike, I'm talking about Josh. So we've seen Jimmy G with phenomenal offensive minds. We've seen Jimmy G his whole career with that. So, like, I just trust Shanahan. He's done it so many times.
The doctrine of Shanahan, he has gotten quarterbacks. Yes. He has elevated quarterbacks.
Everyone.
He has taken quarterbacks that are probably not going to do well in other places to the Super Bowl. He has not won one yet. So, again, the doctrine is we are all gods under Kyle Shanahan, but none of us are actually going to be able to get the ring.
But because, that's fair.
This is the conversation. Like, to me, I just think that it's crazy we're having this conversation.
It is
Think
crazy.
About the quarterbacks that have moved around in the just the past few years that the San Francisco 49ers did not bring into the building. Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
They tried.
Geno Smith. Try. There is no try. There is only do.
What is Geno Smith?
There is no try. There is only do.
Geno Smith is no better than Brock Purdy. Stretch out the body of work.
All right.
It is crazy.
Russell Wilson. Derek Carr. Matt Ryan. who had success under Kyle Shanahan. All I'm saying is every year it's this conversation. One time I'd like to see the San Francisco 49ers go into a year without me asking who's going to play quarterback and what they're going to look
which
like.
Which of those quarterbacks? You don't got to ask this year because it's Brock Purdy.
But which of these...
True. You're right about that. It is Brock Purdy. I know exactly who it is.
It is and it should be.
It's just crazy to me that we can say, don't get rid of this young fella. And like J.D. said, with our own two eyes, we have seen Sam Darnold play football. And Sam Darnold is in front of Trey Lance.
To be fair,
though. That means it is zero belief. But I'm going to say it again. Zero belief in Trey Lance. So they don't even want him to be the third string quarterback. If they don't have that much belief in him to go out there, so let him go.
I mean, just to be fair, I mean, we did go to the camp today and watch the Raiders versus the Rams.
Jimmy G looked good.
And we did see Jimmy G.
Does
everything overthrow? Sure. I mean, if it ain't 10 yards, it's a bad pass. So I don't know. I mean, Kyle might have something. I mean,
domination.
But you seen Jimmy G today, though.
But you got to let him go if you're talking about a guy that's been on two different teams and we can't pick out five good throws Sam Darnold has made.
You're saying for Trey Lance's sake.
For Trey Lance's sake, let him go. You are not going to use. I'm not saying you owe him nothing.
Yeah.
But at one point, you can't just hold on to like we traded up three of these three first round picks for the young kid. But they're not giving him a fair shake.
But my thing is a third string quarterback. What are you?
What you mean they're not giving him a fair shake? They gave him too much of a fair shake. Don't forget for one second that Trey Lance started last year.
Yeah. He didn't.
He should not have started. I said to Joy and to Dave Hillman who was sitting in that seat, he should have started. Why did he start?
A fair shake this year. It was always Brock Purdy's team.
It should have been 13 touchdowns, four picks in a regular season, won two playoff games, and got to the NFC Championship game.
That is fine, Acho, and I'm good with that. But you got to let him go because you don't believe in him no more. That's all I'm saying. You got to let him go because you don't believe in him no more.
There's no rule that says that. There's no rule that says that.
Every sign they telling you is that.
But there's no rule that says that.
We got to do.
He's already under contract.
It don't matter.
So it's like
traded under contract.
But I'm just saying, first, he's a young player. He's under contract. We already have him. So go out there and try to will and deal and trade him or cut him and try to get another third. We arguing about the third string quarterback. Like when is that ever like a priority of a team?
He's a third.
It's killing me right now. Like
he's a first round third string.
We about to fight for the fifth spot on the table. Like, nobody cares about that.
No, but he's a top five pick. They gave up three first rounds to go get him.
I get it.
And now you're not going to use him. You got to trade him to see what you can get back for him.
They traded a 2021, 2022, and 2023 first round pick and a 2022 third round pick for Trey Lance.
And they're saying that Brock Purdy's their guy and it's no questions asked. That means what he's shown you, they don't believe in him no more.
But here's my thing. To me, though, Jay, exclusive of Trey Lance. Like, if we put Trey Lance in a box to the side, Brock Purdy showed you enough to have been the guy, no questions
Brock
asked.
Should start. I'm not. That's
you know
no
what I'm
argument
saying?
For
so,
me at all.
So what start. I'm saying is, like, to me, it's not Trey Lance is bad,
but,
thus it's no conversation.
But now
Brock Purdy
about
was
him
so
being
good.
Third. And we know how bad Sam Darnold is when Sam Darnold steps on a game field. They could say he's been making all type of throws in practice. We've all played. We've seen practice players. And when them lights come on, we've seen what they've done. And every time the lights have come on, we've seen the Sam Darnold. Right? And it ain't good.
Do you not believe in Shanahan?
I do believe in Shanahan, but I don't believe in Darnold. I don't believe in Shanahan that much if you're asking me to get Sam Darnold right. I don't.
But how do you not? Like,
Shanahan's done the most.
Shanahan's done the most.
I will give him that. I will give him that.
Wouldn't it be incredible to see what he does with a quarterback?
Yeah.
How fun would that be?
I've seen Sam Darnold. And if you can fix that, coach of the year.
I mean, I don't think Jimmy G's like so much farther
that's
apart
what I'm trying to
from,
say,
from
like,
Darnold. Wait, you think Jimmy G's that much better than Sam Darnold?
He showed us he is when he's
with
playing.
He showed you that?
With
Shanahan, no.
When he's playing, yes, Jimmy G wins.
With Shanahan.
Sam don't win.
They all
with
win,
Shanahan.
Bro. They all win under Shanahan. He's a good coach.
Oh, man.
I never seen
Shanahan
somebody.
Is a good
they
coach.
They win, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean that winner, yeah, he wins. He does win.
We putting Sam.
I never seen so many people like say so many great things about Jimmy G like this. He from the Bay?
Where you from the Bay, man?
He's from the Bay. That makes sense. My bad, player.
Why makes sense?
I mean, because, Shanahan, they, Niners, the Bay. Like,
I like Shanahan.
Man, I get it. I understand.
But I don't think he fixing.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe
it. I want to see the Niners with a real quarterback.
We done all five, but we giving Buddy some more chances, and we done seen him play for 5 years? That's crazy to me.
Well, let's talk about another phenomenal coach, Brian Daboll, coach of the year for the New York Giants. They went to the playoffs in shocking fashion. They even won a playoff game. But what about this year? Can quarterback Daniel Jones take them to the next level? If you thought that combo was good, wait for this one. That's next on Speed.
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep, Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories and games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody, not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stress. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
You can help those affected by the wildfires in Hawaii. Your donation enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from these disasters. Go to redcross.org/foxforward. Let's get back to the football field as it's time for fourth down. Fourth topic, let's let it roll. Daniel Jones coming off a playoff appearance and a massive contract extension. But now it's on to the 2023 season. And Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, I love that name, Wink, gave Jones high praise, saying he's, quote, throwing the ball better than he ever has, close quote. Danny Dimes, a polarizing topic on this show, a polarizing topic in the National Football League. James, I believe Danny Dimes can take the Giants to the next level. I believe that Danny Dimes can be the quarterback that is at least efficient enough to not only not stand in the team's way, but also help elevate the team, particularly with the addition of some pieces offensively, particularly and most notably Darren Waller in my mind. You also got Tolbert, third-round pick, Wyatt, third-round pick out of Tennessee. He's a dude as well, with burners.
Yeah.
I think Danny Dimes can take them to the next step. What say you?
Well, you know, I like TV. And the reason why is we don't got to agree with each other. Absolutely not. I mean, what are we saying next level? He won a playoff game.
Yes, sir.
So we saying he going to win two of them?
Two of them. Give me two of them.
All right, so you saying if he going to win two of them, that means he either beating the Eagles or the Niners, right? So that's what we saying. I don't think that's going to get done, right? Number two, 15 touchdown passes, right? To be able to have your team in a position like that, we hoping it's going to be a home playoff game. If you are going to beat the Niners or beat the Eagles, we hoping it's going to be at home, right? You have to throw more for 3,000 yards and 15 touchdown passes. And you're going to really have to double that. I'm not saying the yardage, but touchdown-wise, with what you got with Waller and all that, you are going to have to double that. With my own two eyes, even as great as I think Daboll is and how great he puts schemes out there to be able to make Daniel Jones, you know, successful, I don't see that big of a jump. And if he does not have that big of a jump, he's not going to win two playoff games. I am one up here that I am not a believer in Daniel Jones yet. Now, halfway during the season, that could change. Okay. You could tell me I told you so. But right now, I don't think Daniel Jones is in that elite category to take his team as a quarterback and win two playoff games. Because we all know when you get in the playoffs, the quarterback is going to have to play at a high level.
And he did.
I don't know if he's ready to compete against those guys that he's going to be competing against in the playoffs to win two of them. Kirk Cousins, cool. But Jalen Hurts and the 49ers, I don't know if he's ready to get that done, so I'm going to say no.
That's fair.
Two?
No. Just tell him, Joy. No.
He's 21-31-1 in his career.
Say that again, Joy.
They won nine games last year.
Ooh.
I'm talking about recent, James.
Well, they did.
Okay, recently they won nine games during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's not getting anywhere near the playoffs. It just happens to be that in the conference that worked. If we're going to keep it a bug.
Well, well.
I'm contractually required to do, you know,
yeah.
to speak. I mean, I like him. I think he took a major step up. I think it was obviously coaching and obviously having Saquon there because I don't want to bore you with what he looks like without Saquon Barkley.
No, please, please.
Not good.
Please give us a couple.
Actually, I mean, this is really, this little section here is just what Saquon should have brought to the negotiating table. Yeah. Like, if you're wondering why you need to pay me, just look at those numbers right there. My just goodness. Right there, with, without. Not pretty. I understand Saquon's there, but to my point, Saquon is what makes him him. Yeah, you can look at that. Saquon's what makes him him. Mm. And coaching is what makes him him. So if you're talking about being in an elite space where I know you can go win the game, the quarterback, can go win the game, you can go beat a 49ers, you can go beat a Cowboys, you can go beat an Eagles.
Gosh,
I need to see that. I think he took a major step up. He earned the money, although they should have paid Saquon first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a lot of what's around him that makes him that much better, because those numbers shouldn't look like that if it was him and
wouldn't,
not the running
wouldn't
game.
You say that about, because I would say that about a lot of quarterbacks, most
yeah,
notably
I
your
and
quarterback
also,
favorite on the show.
And I also wouldn't say it about...
What was that? Jalen Hurts.
What you going to say about it?
I would say the same thing. Jalen Hurts is a big beneficiary of the people around him.
Everyone is a beneficiary of the people around him. The difference is when we got to see, we got the gift. We got the gift of seeing what the Eagles look like without Jalen Hurts.
Thank you.
We got that gift. The football guys were like, y'all talking too much. Jalen, go ahead and put in this man, Gardner Minshew, and see what it looks like.
Talking tall.
They still put up 30-plus points, I think.
Did they win? Did they get the dub?
No, because the defense they gave up 40, but, I mean, they still put up 30-plus points.
Well, I mean, Dak scored more when they came in, too, and people give Dak a hard
time. I love knowing how much a team scored and lost, because we put asterisks next to it. They scored a bunch of points, though.
Yeah. No, you're talking about quarterbacks.
I mean, but, like,
they lost that game with Jalen Hurts in?
They played the Cowboys. I don't know. Cowboys are a good team.
I mean, but we did get a pick six, I know the points say the offense, but we didn't score that. You know what I mean? Turnovers put us in a good situation, so you can't
answer the question, Shady.
I'm torn between this question, because you guys are right. I think that Daniel Jones, he's a solid quarterback, right? What we've seen for all these years, don't just leave our eyes just because he had a solid year last year. And last year, it just was a solid year. Yeah. Wasn't super great. I do think that in the second year of Daboll's offense, I think you'll see him being more consistent. You'll see better balls. You'll see better plays, the different designs. I think the more he's comfortable in the offense, you'll see better play from him. You bring Saquon Barkley back, right? And then you add on Darren Waller. That's going to help out.
Yeah.
What Daboll loves to do, he loves to get the tight end involved, right? He loves to run with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The things you see with the Bills.
Dawson Knox got busy
yep. Because Brian Daboll, that's what he does. He uses the running backs, some wide receivers, and he loves to use the tight end. So I think that he'll have a better year next year, in the second year in Brian Daboll's offense. But to make the Giants a next step, that part is tough for me. Because when I look at the Giants, they can compete, but can they really win? Can they compete against the Cowboys?
But
can they beat the Eagles? You see what I'm saying?
If they can't, though, in my mind, it's not Daniel Jones that's hurting them. Like, when you think about the Giants and I think about the Eagles, those rosters are not comparable. When I think about the Giants and I think about the Cowboys, those rosters are not comparable. When I look at the Giants, I'm not like, oh, it's Daniel Jones holding them back. When I look at the Giants, I'm like, well, the Eagles have 70 sacks last year. The Giants have Andrew Thomas. The Eagles have Mailata, Kelce, and Lane Johnson. The Eagles have, it's just better.
Yeah,
so
I'm not
looking and saying those teams are so much better because those teams are so much better. But Daniel Jones ain't holding them cats back.
But that's why I'm saying no, because I still feel like defensively they got to get a little better for the Giants, right? Because we want to put it all on the quarterback, but it's not all on the quarterback, right? Defensively, they got to get a little better. Offensively, they brought him in a couple more weapons. Last year, he didn't have that many weapons. I mean, my dog Isaiah Hodges came in from the Buffalo Bills doing his job, but now they brought in some receivers and all that. But still, when I look at it, if you are going to win two playoff games, you have to carry your football team at one point during the season, especially when you get into the playoffs. Right?
That team.
But other teams
you don't.
No.
Remember the Niners?
But your team.
The Giants team is what I'm saying.
Yes, you have to carry this Giants team.
Fair.
I don't think he's that type quarterback. If we said right now, is he a top 10 quarterback, that would be an easy no, right? If we said top 15, we'd probably all be like scratching our head, man. So when you telling me possibly a top 20 quarterback is going to win two playoffs games, and he doesn't have what Jalen Hurts has around him or what Brock Purdy has around him or what Dak Prescott has around him, that's tough. And I don't see that being done because he's not a Patty or in a Josh Allen category where he carries his team.
I just think that for his talent and his skill level, to move them going forward and have a more success with the Giants, he needs more around him for that to happen. I think if you put a guy like a Mahomes in New York, he's that good where, okay, yeah, he's going to elevate this team. He don't have the talent level to do that. So I think he needs some more players around him. Like, when we watch Daniel Jones, I mean, I don't see nothing he does special, right?
Yeah, I fair.
You see what I'm saying?
He can run.
He can run. He's fast. But I just think that he needs to have some more pieces around him before we can start saying, yo, he's going to elevate this team, and they're going to go so far. They don't have the roster, I don't think.
And now we truly going to see, too, because we all know. Who believed in the Giants last year? Absolutely I nobody.
I did.
Absolutely.
I know Daboll, bro. He's a great coach. I did.
Well, except Shady, nobody else believed that they would win 9 games and be in the playoffs, right? Even as they were going on the winning streak, it was a bunch of people like, oh, it's just a matter of time before the Giants are going to be the Giants. You know what I'm saying? And they found ways to win really close football games. It was like 5 one-score games that they won.
How do you do that? Because as we all know at this desk, I believe it's still 24% of NFL games are decided by 3 points or less. Mm-hmm. Best way to not lose a game is to not turn the ball over.
Absolutely.
As you all very well know, I think Daniel Jones led the league in interceptions as it pertains to not throwing them. Mm-hmm. Only threw 5 interceptions last year. So though we scoff at his 15 touchdown passes, I'm thinking to myself, Daniel Jones is not losing games. And in a league where more games are lost than are won, quote Bill Belichick, Daniel Jones is not losing football games.
The question
games.
Is, and that's a really good point. Daniel Jones take the Giants to the next level is what we're talking about. The question isn't, can Daniel Jones not lose games?
And that point right there.
So to me, the question is he capable? Is him on his own, the way that Patty would, the way that we've seen Aaron do it, the way that Brady would do it, the way that
Lamar.
That Stafford was able to do it, the way that Lamar can do it. Can he do those type of things when it matters the most?
But see, that's why it's interesting. That's a great question
with
you asked.
With the roster he has.
The reason I love that question is because to some degree I would say yes, but it's awkward. Listen to me for a second. Mm. Remember the game that Lamar Jackson lost versus the Buffalo Bills? They lost by 13 or 14.
Pick six on that, yeah.
Okay. He threw a pick six at the 3-yard line, went the other way. It's a 14-point swing. That's a game in which you lost by 14 points. When I think about Josh Allen will turn the ball over and lose his team games. Mm. When I think about Dak Prescott last year versus the 49ers and Dak Prescott, they lost that game because of his turnovers. Mm-hmm. So when we're saying, hey, can he do these things that these quarterbacks can do? I'm saying maybe not aggressively, but he also doesn't make the mistakes that these quarterbacks have made that have cost them team games in the playoffs
as
well.
But he does not have the team. He does not have the team around him to not be that guy to win games. Daniel Jones, to win 2 playoff games, you have to be the guy to lead your team to that. You may win a couple regular season games and all that, playing it safe, not taking no chances and all that, but he has to be the guy to win them those games in the playoffs, taking shots, making the big throws when the games is on the line. I have not seen that from him consistently. I don't think it's going to get done this year.
Well, we've seen Deshaun Watson win his teams over the years several games, but we won't see him playing tonight. Browns have chosen not to play Deshaun Watson in their preseason game tonight, but is that a huge mistake? Should Deshaun be on the field? That's next on Speed.
Hey, college football fans. This is RJ Young, host of Fox Sports' number one college football show. The biggest names, the biggest games. The theme is we do it big on this here thing. Please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in overtime, family. Okay, Browns, they play tonight versus the Eagles. But Deshaun Watson, he's not going to see any of the action. This is coming off reports that he has been outplayed by rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson, thrown 3 interceptions to the same player in joint practices versus the Eagles. Bring us on camera, Shelly. Shady, your Eagles have been dominant versus Deshaun. But are the Browns making a mistake not playing him tonight?
Wait, were you surprised, though? You weren't surprised, were you?
Yes, dude. Shady, answer the question.
Yes, they are making a big mistake. I think he should be playing. I mean, he hasn't been playing to the level of Deshaun Watson that we know of, the Texans Deshaun Watson. The Deshaun Watson, when he's healthy, he's been a Pro Bowler every year.
Yep.
So I don't understand why he's not playing. And maybe they know some, I don't know. You know, the Browns, I'll tell you what. All these years I've been playing, the Browns have been an interesting team. I mean, they draft players that I don't think should be drafted high, but they draft them. You keep hearing about Johnny Football. Oh, he didn't watch tape. Before he didn't watch tape, though, he was a good college guy. He wasn't no top draft pick, no first-round quarterback. Right? Trent Richardson, dude, you know, big legs and all, he was strong. Mm. He couldn't play a lick of football.
He was good.
Now, Deshaun Watson, right? I think he's a hell of a quarterback. You gave him $230 million guaranteed? We don't need no contract, bro. We're going to give $230 million. Take that. So they do a lot of different things. I don't know. Maybe there's a smart, you know, you meet them people that's like, they think they're super smart. You're like, why they do that? He's smart, that's why. So I don't know. I mean, I will play him because I think that you got to knock some of that rust off. He's a hell of a player, but we got to see it. He hasn't been doing it in a long time, almost 2 years from removed from football. So I will play him, but then again, I'm not as smart as the Browns.
I can't. It's hard for me to say it'll be a mistake because if they play him and he gets hurt, we're going to kill him, right? We're just like, you can't risk him getting hurt. He's a $230 million guy. But the problem is you also can't risk them getting to the regular season and starting out slow because he's correct. Rusty.
Right.
Because he only played in 6 games last year, and before that he was off for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm in between. I would play him for at least a series, try and get something going. Just go score. Like, go do something.
Yeah.
Go, you know, get some yak yards. Make somebody look good. Make us feel like he is in the space that he's ready for week one, which is coming up very soon, and he hasn't had a lot of experience.
And real quick, not to cut you off real quick, but that's a great point because Andy Reid, who I think is the smartest coach ever, he would do stuff like this. So let's say that, he probably want the starters playing a long period of time, but we haven't been doing well, and we probably shouldn't be playing. But he said, you know what? No.
Yep.
Y'all gonna go out there and y'all gonna give me a good quarter, 2 quarters, right? But if we have to go out there and have a great drive and we look.
You get out of there.
Look good, look consistent, look efficient. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna take the guys out. And I would rather see that with Deshaun Watson.
Yes, I don't think that Deshaun in Cleveland has earned the right to not play a preseason.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you have to earn the right to not play in preseason games.
Money-wise, he's earned the right.
No doubt about it. Money-wise, shout out to him. David Mulugeta, they do that.
Yeah.
But he hasn't earned the right as a player on the football field in Cleveland to not play in a preseason. We just haven't seen enough good football, if any. Played 6 games last year. I believe they were 3-3. Played in the preseason thus far this year. And he looked good. I mean, they had a very good opening drive last week. Yeah. Went 3-3, marched down the field, 4th down stop. I get it. But Deshaun, to me, still has to go prove, not just to the fans, not just to Kevin Stefanski, not just to general managers and ownership, but to himself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, go play some more football. Mm-hmm. Go out there where you can be tackled, where your receivers can be tackled, where if your offensive lineman gets beat, the coach won't blow the whistle, yell sack, and it be dead. Like, go play some ball.
Yeah. For me, this is a problem, right? Number one, Deshaun Watson played 6 games last year, did not look good.
Right.
And we all said, well, new offensive coordinator in Stefanski, doesn't have his legs under him, wasn't allowed to be at training camp, all this funny stuff. We brought out all these excuses for him, and they're valid. But at the same time, this worries me because this is the difference between the great quarterbacks, right? Because I've had a chance to play with Brett Favre, and I've had a chance to play with Aaron Rodgers. And it was a time to where we were stinking it up in practice, right? Coming into the second preseason game to where the starters don't play anyway. And the coach came up to us before the game where we had sneakers and all this stuff on. He said, 12 want to go. He said, 12 want to go out here because it ain't looked the way it's supposed to look in practice. He want to go out here for a couple series with you guys. So put your stuff on. You got what I'm saying? That's a quarterback that's like, hey, it ain't looking right, right? I'm finna go out here and play a little bit, right? With Deshaun Watson, you have not proven nothing to these Cleveland Brown fans, right? You know as a quarterback if you're not playing well or not. And you mean to tell me that if he doesn't play this week, history shows that nobody plays that 4 preseason game. He played 6 games and 1 series in preseason, and we supposed to be feeling good, Cleveland? That Deshaun Watson just finna take this field and light it up?
You know what?
No.
You led me to a point, and I'll be cautious of how I navigate this, but I don't know that Deshaun has owned the Cleveland locker room or team yet for several reasons.
Mm.
But think about it. I can't imagine Deshaun going in there and saying, hey, I want to go. Because it's not Deshaun's team. In
my mind, is it?
It's still Myles Garrett's as I look at it.
Hell no. $230 though? I mean,
no, I'm not talking about the money.
Maybe you're right about the team, but he got a big say-so.
He should. Like, Myles Garrett has been there longer.
This don't mean nothing to him.
He's a better player.
This situation doesn't have anything to do with Myles Garrett.
Yes.
If Myles Garrett was the face of the team and he was on the offensive side of the ball, maybe.
No, but this is Amari Cooper, put your stuff on.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore, put your stuff on.
I'm saying, like,
Njoku, put your stuff on. We got to go get this right.
I want it to be like that. I'm just saying I don't know of any Deshaun quote, comment, anything out of Cleveland for me to say like, oh, yeah, he's galvanized this locker room.
But he can say that.
He should.
And they can do that.
Correct.
Like, he doesn't necessarily have to have already done this to be able to say that in this moment. He hasn't owned the locker room. Maybe that's true. This would be a time to go do that.
I agree. I would want to see it.
2:30 though. You can say what you want, and it's gonna get done. If he told that coach, hey, look, we need to go back out, coach. You heard what Deshaun said. Let's go.
I'm not the defense, but the offense. 2:30.
Hey, I'm with the family and everything. Y'all ain't got to come to this. You know what I mean? I ain't playing for being sunflower seeds. Hey, put your stuff on. 12 want to go, huh? Yeah,
you
all right, here we go.
You eat the regular ones or ranch?
What?
Sunflower seeds.
Oh, I'm regular. Oh. All day. Yeah.
All right, coming up, we took a field trip to Rams training camp today. It was Rams versus Raiders practice. We saw Stafford. We saw Jimmy G, Max Crosby, amongst others. You do not want to miss it. We'll give you all the sights and sounds from that camp when we return.
Who played really, really bad today?
Rams.
What player?
So we made it to Raiders-Rams practice. Only one problem. The gate's locked.
2 hours later.
Is he going to be coming to the gate or is he going to have it?
Already go. Hey, we just showed up. They already throwing hands. You know what I'm saying? They ready. Hey, Donald, out there ready. All right, let's get to our hurry up offense. That was a look at earlier today, Rams training camp. We had a blast out there. But James, you left with a couple convicting opinions.
I feel good right now as a Raider, man. Raiders going to the playoffs. I'm telling you all that now.
In what league are you referring to?
So I'm glad like y'all tuned in. Watching me speak today. I don't wear my solo. Over here somewhere. Yeah. I'm glad y'all tuned in watching speak today because I'm telling you right now, they dominated the San Francisco 49ers at practice and went out there and put up 35 points and gave up 14 points. I don't remember, but played extremely well. The last 2 days, they have dominated the Los Angeles Rams and looked really good on the offensive side of the ball. They got it going right now. Surprise, surprise. I'm telling you right now, the Las Vegas Raiders will be in the playoffs this year.
When Shady don't agree with a take, he just looks disgusted.
Yeah,
like, Shady don't get mad.
It's all good.
When he don't agree with a take, he
he just talking, I guess.
I ain't talking. It's true. You know,
would tell us at the end of the show, they'd be talking, right? Go ahead. Finish. We're listening to
you
finish.
You was there today. They ran the ball well.
Just finish. Go ahead.
Threw the ball well. They missed a couple deep shots.
How Jimmy G look today?
He missed one deep ball.
You think
other
he's
than that, the ball was coming out his hands fast. Completion.
You think he takes it to the playoffs this year?
He will take
you it
to
bet?
The playoffs. I'll bet whatever you want to bet.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
You want to bet dinner? What you want to bet?
Yeah, we bet dinner.
Bet dinner.
Bet.
Okay.
That the Raiders don't make the playoffs?
The Raiders going to the playoffs.
So three teams from the AFC West?
I ain't saying three. I'm saying the Raiders going to be one of them.
Okay. Well, you're saying the Chiefs are going to be one of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, so now somebody.
I told you to be talking.
The Chiefs in the show. The Chiefs going.
The Chiefs going, but I mean, why can't it be three?
Okay. It could be three.
It could be three.
It absolutely could be three.
We did three last year.
Now, it's interesting, though, because you got to remember that AFC North, they got something to say about that, too, because they're trying to send three
no
teams.
No doubt about it.
Think about the Steelers.
But we just talked about Deshaun Watson. It might not be three coming out of there.
You're right.
I like my Raiders' chances and the way they are looking.
I will say, Max Crosby, to me, defensive end for the Raiders, he looked like the best player on the field today. I mean, he blew up a pass play, and then on the very next play versus the pool, there you use Max Crosby and James right there. Very next play, Max Crosby comes underneath the pool, blows up the play. Yeah. So the question for me, though, the Raiders' defense was atrocious last year. They were bad.
Yeah.
You think they can take the next step?
Well, you got Max Crosby. You get a healthy Chandler Jones who wasn't in really good shape last year, didn't really practice a lot, so wasn't really in game shape. You get him back healthy, right? You get your first-round pick, Wilson, back healthy. So you're going to be able to get after the passer, right? They drafted in the secondary. Right. They drafted the young kid from Maryland, I believe. I'm drawing a blank on his name. You draft him, who they're really high on, and you bring in Marcus Peters, right, who's been lighting it up at camp, picking off balls and stuff. So they've upgraded on the defensive side of the ball. Now, we watching this Raiders offense eat up the Niners. Well, at least I did. I watched them eat up the Niners. I watched them eat up the Rams without 28. And if you don't know who 28 is, well, it ain't 28 no more. It's 8 now, right? Josh Jacobs, right? If they can get him back in the building, Josh Jacobs, with what they have on the offensive side of the ball with Jacoby there as well on the other side of Devontae, I'm telling you, the Raiders are going to be one of those teams that is making some noise. When it's playoff time, they're going to be in that thing.
Joy, you're high on the Rams. Cooper Kupp, he didn't practice today, but you did check out the team that you are high on.
Well, I'm high on Sean McVay.
Okay.
I'm high on Sean McVay. Okay. He's the best coach in the division.
Mm. Over Pete?
He's the best coach in the division. Mm. And most recently won the Super Bowl. He's the best coach in the division. Did anyone win a Super Bowl 2 years ago? I'm tripping.
Listen, man.
I'm tripping.
Listen.
I was there.
You confident? Speak how you feel. Okay, don't worry about what people think.
Everybody looking at me like I'm crazy. Sean McVay's been to 2 Super Bowls and won one 2 years ago since he's been with the Rams. They don't have the same team that they had when they won the Super Bowl, obviously. But if you're asking me to pick a team that could come out and surprise everyone, Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp if Cooper's healthy.
But would it be a surprise? I don't think the Rams being good would be a surprise.
Yeah, I think it would. What? I think a lot of people don't think that the Rams are really
bad.
Yeah,
that'd be surprising.
I
don't think they'll be good. But I'm saying I don't know if a team coached by Sean McVay, quarterbacked by Matthew Stafford, would be a surprise. You kind of expect them to be good. Because we're all analysts.
Nobody's expecting the Rams to be good.
No, they're terrible. Yeah. I think they'll be terrible.
So then if you think they will be terrible, it should be a surprise if they're good.
If we keeping it a buck right now, Matthew Stafford is back in Detroit right now. Really good offensive weapons, right? And you guys could be high on Sean McVay. They have the youngest defense in the National Football League.
I am high on Sean McVay.
The youngest defense in the National Football League. I will be surprised if they win 7 games.
I'm with you. Vegas, I think, has them at 6.
I will be surprised.
They don't have a lot of weapons, I feel like.
To even have a chance to win those 7 games, Aaron Donald is going to have to truly, truly be healthy all season and wreck
games. Well, he's the best defensive player in the league.
He is, in my opinion, ever.
There's that. Shout out to the Rams for
But it's going to be tough. And we'll have the Pete Carroll, Sean McVay conversation.
We will not. It's not debatable.
I like Pete.
Oh, it's debatable.
I like Pete.
It's debatable.
Oh, definitely.
Pete Carroll won 2 Super Bowls, too. He won one.
Playoffs last year.
Pete Carroll all interchange.
Like, it's debatable.
I mean, I think Pete's resume is probably better, but, like right now, I don't think he's a better coach than Sean McVay.
I mean, Pete had a better year last year.
Pete, when last, what, 5 years, been a two? What,
Pete, oh. Pete just took.
Yo,
Pete,
Take us to break. I don't even need to do
it. We're going to
be here when y'all get back.
In the playoffs, we got smoke.
Rams got smoked in a regular
season. That was Fisher's pick.
Yo, we got to get a 2-minute drill. There's not enough time for
this.
Better coach
tomorrow.
Better coach Pete Carroll.
Today. Better coach today.
Pete.
Say that. Say better coach today.
Better coach.
Not a better resume. Better coach today. It's Sean McVay.
He didn't go to the playoffs last year. Pete did with Geno.
What, did he win a championship?
You talking about today?
What, did he win a chip 2 or 3 years ago?
Pete won a chip.
No. Recent. Not 12, 30 years ago.
You can't just knock what the man accomplished.
No. I'm talking about right now, today. Right now.
Shady, that's like somebody coming up here after you've been retired for 5 or 6 years saying, forget his Super Bowl 7 years ago. I won that.
You won that.
Period.
I'm talking about right now.
2 years ago. He has a very comparable resume. I'll hear
that. What did Sean McVay do last year?
Everyone was injured.
Before they was
hurt.
Everybody was
starting first.